Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I have already brought two messages on the subject, Seven Symptoms of a Sinking Society. Number one, a great preoccupation with eating, drinking, and playing. Number two, an excessive decoration with ornaments. Young people, do not let your worldly peers persuade you to take on their worldly styles. Many an older person might testify that he went along with his worldly peers when he was younger and has regrets because of it. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 12 states, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, in purity." God can make a young person wise beyond his or her years and mature beyond his or her years. "Let no man despise thy youth because you are doing foolish things in your youth." Number three, the constant congregation for worldly activities. The world is empty. The world is void, hollow. And some people try to fill their own inner void with many worldly activities. There can be indications of serious inner problems when one that professes salvation, first of all, is not vexed or is vexed very little by wicked things that he sees or hears. Number two, has little or no desire to congregate with God's people, but desires to congregate often with the worldly. Number three, spends little or no time with God, but much time with worldly friends. Genesis chapter number 13 and verse number 12 states that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. The way he pitched his tent might have indicated his intent. Which way have you pitched your tent? Oftentimes, before a person actually commits a sin, he obviously moves in that direction. The next verse states, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." But eventually, Lot ended up in Sodom, and even, it seems, in leadership in Sodom. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verses 7 and 8 states, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Since Lot was a saved man, and since Lot was vexed with the wickedness in Sodom day by day, then why did he stay? Perhaps he wanted the conveniences of the city. Perhaps he thought that he could have more social and commercial contacts there. Perhaps he tried to please Mrs. Lot and his daughters. Perhaps he did not want to live the sanctified life like Uncle Abraham had lived. I believe that Lot could have delivered himself from much of the vexation that he experienced. I realize that even if the believer lives in the perfect will of God, that he can experience some vexation. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 9 and 10 states, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world." The Christian may find his soul often vexed in the workplace, in stores, in family gatherings, in times of recreation. When he is living within the will of God, he may still experience the vexation of soul, but sometimes the believer may bring upon himself much unnecessary vexation because of some of the activities that he chooses to be involved in. The Christian might find that there are some activities which are not necessary, that are not worth attending because of the great vexation of soul they will cause him. Finally, before God destroyed Sodom, he sent two angels that entered into Lot's house. Sodomites came near to break the door, and the angels smote the Sodomites with blindness. When the morning came, the angels hastened Lot and told him to take his wife and his two daughters, lest they be consumed. But Lot lingered. After vexation of soul day after day, Lot lingered. The angels laid hold upon the hands of Lot, his wife, and his daughters that were there. The Bible says, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. The angel told Lot to escape for his life, to not look behind him, to not stay in the plain, to escape to the mountain, lest he be consumed. And yet, in that perilous moment, Lot said, "Oh, not so, my Lord." He said that he could not escape to the mountain, lest some evil take him and he die. Can you believe that at such a time, Lot argued with the angel? In fact, Lot requested to go to another city. He asked, "Is it not a little one?" He went to the city. Mrs. Lot looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. After Lot went to the city, Zoar, that was the name of the city, that he had requested to go to, he left that city because he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Lot got drunk a couple of times, and his two daughters committed incest with him. Does it amaze you that even though Lot was saved and so much vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked, he and his family were still very much attached to this world and very worldly? In our day, many professing believers are very much attached to this world and are very worldly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 tells of the trying of the works of believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." God gives each one of his children one foundation to build upon and one lifetime to build upon that foundation, and there shall be one fire to try that which was built thereon. Notice the words in verse number 15. "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." When God destroyed Sodom, there were no worldly friends, worldly activities, or worldly works to go back to in Sodom. God shall destroy this world by fire and destroy the unacceptable works of believers by fire. Are you so attached to this world and worldliness that even though you are very much vexed by them, you still cling to them? This world shall come to an end. Do not cling to the things of this world. They are very short-lived. The constant congregation for worldly activities can be a sign of a sinking society. Child of God, if socialization means more to you than sanctification, then your value system is wrong. Do you realize that to be separated from this world does not mean that you are alone? You have God as your constant companion, but do you value the world and the ways of the world more than God and the things of God? Have you set your affections on things below or on things above? Are you so earthly minded that you are no heavenly good? Are you more concerned about social standing than standing before God? Is much of your social in a reaction for the distraction of your heart and mind? Do you fear to come to yourself and to face God? Do you have radios blaring and computers glaring and blaring so much that you neglect to spend quiet time with God? Lost sinner, if you ever get saved, it will be because you met with God alone. Even if you get saved in a congregation, even if you get saved in a crowded room, still, it shall be something that happens between you and God alone. Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 23, tells about Jesus, the Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Believer, if you do not treasure time apart and alone with God, but instead are always filling that time with activities, you have a problem. You have a void. You have an emptiness. It would be good if Americans spent more time alone with God, more time with family, and more time at church, and less time in a whirlwind of other activities. After this life, do you think that you'll be pleased with how you spent your life? Are you overindulging in other activities and underindulging in spending time with God? Now, I realize that it might be the perfect will of God for some of you to live in town and to minister in town, but as the presence of an abundance of available activities lured you into many needless and worthless activities, listen to portions of a poem entitled Obedience. I said, "Let me walk in the fields." He said, "No, walk in the town." I said, "There are no flowers there." He said, "No flowers, but a crown." I said, "But the air is thick and fogs are veiling the sun." He answered, "Yet souls are sick and souls in the dark undone." I said, "I shall miss the light and my friends will miss me," they say. He answered, "Choose tonight if I am to miss you or they." I pleaded for time to be given. He said, "Is it hard to decide? It will not seem so hard in heaven to have followed the steps of your guide." I cast one look at the fields, then set my face to the town. He said, "My child, do you yield? Will you leave the flowers for the crown?" I realize that God might have his child minister in a place in which there are many people and many available activities. But let us ask ourselves these questions. Am I spending the time with God that I should? Am I spending the time with my family that I should? And am I spending the time with my church that I should? Let us avoid becoming caught up with unnecessary activities and neglecting that which is necessary. You and I that are saved by the grace of God have a Christ that satisfies. The world does not have that Christ. And the constant congregation for worldly activities can be a symptom of a sinking society.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.